Meg! Have you got the house?
Well, no.
Oh, what a nuisance. So we're as we were.
What exactly? I've received a proposal of marriage from Henry Wilcox. Helen, I...
You've never... Oh, Meg!
Really? Come away from the house.
Don't, Meg. It's my fault. That lunch, that's when you were first alone with him. It started then, didn't it?
Oh, Helen, you're being ridiculous.
Panic and emptiness. Do you love him?
It's wonderful knowing that a real man cares for you. And remember, I've known him for nearly 3 years.
But loved him.
No.
But you think you will?
Yes. Yes, I'm sure. I began the moment he spoke to me.
Did you? Oh, and you've settled to marry him.
I had. But what is it against him? You must try and say.
Oh, it's ever since Paul. That morning when I came down to breakfast and saw the man who loved me frightened and his paraphernalia fallen, so I knew it was impossible because personal relations are the important thing always and forever. Not this outer life of telegrams and anger.
But there's the widest gulf between my lovemaking and yours. Oh. Yours was romance. Mine will be prose. I'm not running it down. A very good kind of prose. But still, prose.
But...
And if Wilcoxes hadn't worked and died in England for thousands of years, you and I couldn't sit here without having our throats cut. There would be no trains, no ships to carry us literary people about, no fields even. Just savagery, perhaps not even that. More and more, I refuse to draw my income and sneer at those who guarantee it. There are times when it seems to me...
And to me, and to all women... And thus I kissed Paul.
That's brutal. Mine's an absolutely different case. I've thought things out.
Oh, it makes no difference thinking things out. They come to the same.
Miss Schlegel has fairly got us on toast.
I could simply scratch that woman's eyes out.
We're in a bad hole, and we must make the best of it. I shall answer Father's letter civilly. Dolly, are you listening to me?
Charles, look at little Charles.
If I find her giving herself airs or monopolising my father or ill-treating him or worrying him with her artistic beastliness, I intend to put my foot down. Yes, firmly. Taking my mother's place. Heaven knows what Paul will say when news reaches him.
Henry, as I must now call him, arrived in Swanage the next day bearing the engagement ring. Margaret greeted her lord with peculiar tenderness. Mature as he was, she might yet be able to help him to the building of the rainbow bridge that should connect the prose in us with the passion. Only connect. That was the whole of her sermon.
Here we all are. Here's Helen.
Good morning, Helen.
Good morning, Mr. Wilcox.
Henry, she's had such a nice letter this morning from the queer cross boy. Did you meet him? He had a sad moustache, but the back of his head was young.
I've had a letter too. I must talk it
over. Thanks to your hint, he's clearing out of the Porphyrion.
Not a bad business, the Porphyrion.
Not a bad
business. It's about Howard's End. Bryce has been ordered abroad, wants to sublet it. I'm part
surely
from
that
sure
night
that
we met you on the street,
Mr.
you
Wilcox,
said...
the Porphyrion.
What is it?
You said, surely, that it was a bad concern. So we advised this clerk to clear out. He writes this morning that he's taken our advice, and now you say it's not a bad concern.
A clerk who clears out of any concern, good or bad, without securing a berth somewhere else first, is a fool, and I've no pity for him.
He's not done that.
He's going into a bank in Camden Town.
Dempster's.
Is that all right?
The salary's much lower.
Dempster, my goodness, yes.
More right than the Porphyrion.
Yes, yes, yes. Safe as houses. Safer.
Oh, thank you, Henry. I'm sorry. Bryce wants to sublet.
But I think you told us that the Porphyrion would smash before Christmas.
Did I? It was still outside the tariff ring and had to take rotten policies. Lately it came in, safe as houses now.
In other words, Mr. Bass need never have left it.
No, he needn't.
And needn't have started elsewhere at a greatly reduced salary.
He only says reduced.
With a man so poor, every reduction must be greater. I consider it a deplorable misfortune.
You seem to... Let me explain the point to you. You seem to think when a business concern is conducting a delicate negotiation, it ought to keep the public informed, stage
is
by stage.
Is that your point? My point is, a man who had little money now has less.
Helen, please.
Oh, come, come. You're not to blame. No one's to blame.
Is no one to blame for anything?
I wouldn't say that, but you're taking it far too seriously. Oh. Who is the fellow?
We've told you about the fellow twice already. He is capable of better things. We, the upper classes, thought we would help him from the height of our superior knowledge. And here's the result.
Now, a word of advice.
I require no more advice.
Henry. Oh. Helen.
No, my dears. What's wrong with Helen?
Mrs. Munn.
Nothing. Leave her.
Mr. Wilcox, Tibby says you want to take my Magsie away from me next week. Is this true?
Well, I know she'll be sorry to go, but it certainly is
Aunt
the case.
Julie, of course we don't want to leave, but there is so much
but
to be settled.
But going away without taking the Weymouth trip or even the Lulworth?
I'm afraid so.
And you've never been to Lulworth Cove?
Sadly not.
Oh, Margaret.
Are we there?
We are. Howards End.
It's beautiful.
You think so? Well, let's hope Bryce hasn't left a mess.
Oh, Henry, couldn't we live here?
What? My dear girl, you know we couldn't. It's much too small, and besides...
I know all the besides. Take no notice. I'm just... It's just so beautiful.
No good. The door's locked. Margaret, you wait in the dry. I'll go down for the key. It isn't 100 yards to the farm. I'll be back before I'm gone.
Howards End. It was as if a curtain had risen. Here were the green gage trees that Helen once described. There, the hedge that would be glorious with dog roses in June. Down by the dell hole, more vivid colours were waking. Lent lilies stood sentinel on its margin, or advanced in battalions across the grass. Margaret couldn't see the witch elm tree, but a branch of the celebrated vine studded with velvet knobs had covered the porch. Smiling and sighing, she lay her hand on the door. It opened. The house was not locked up at all.
Is that you, Henry? Henry, are you back?
Well, I took you for Ruth Wilcox.
Ruth Wilcox is... I'm...
In fancy, of course. In fancy. You had her way of walking just there. Good day.
And she walked out into the rain. Gave Margaret quite a turn.
I would have taken her for a spook.
None of you girls have any nerves, really. Of course, a word from me put it all right, but silly old Miss Avery. She frightened you, didn't she, Margaret? She might have said something instead of coming down the stairs with that alarming bonnet on. I passed her as I came in. Enough to make the car shine.
I wasn't as foolish as you suggest. She only startled me because I thought the house was empty.
Did you take her for a spook?
Not exactly.
Who is she anyway to think she could just wander around Howards End?
She's just one of the crew at the farm. People like that always assume things. Lack of education makes people very casual. Hilton was full of people like Miss Avery once.
But Margaret was barely listening. She was remembering the witch elm at Howards End. No report had prepared her for its peculiar glory. After Henry had returned with the key, the rain eased and they had ventured into the garden for a minute. And Margaret had been right. Pig's teeth in the bark of the tree.
Extraordinary.
The little white tips.
Yes, yes. They're teeth all right. Who told you?
I heard it one winter in London.
Margaret told Henry that she loved Oniton, but in fact she could never love it as she loved Howards End. It would be no small business for Henry's future wife to remain herself and yet to assimilate such an establishment, but she was determined to succeed. It was in this spirit that she agreed to play her part in hosting a garden party there. The occasion would be a small affair, but would act as a kind of dress rehearsal for her responsibilities as Henry's wife. Invitations were written, food prepared, wine carefully chosen from the cellar. Helen refused her invitation. Tibby never answered his. The London party numbered only 8. But everything went like 1 o'clock, and as the sun retreated behind the hills of Wales, the host and hostess found themselves sitting together in a quiet corner of the gardens.
I'm pleased. Everything went well.
It did. I only hope our wedding may be half as comfortable.
Twice as. It shall be. What is it? Crumb on my nose?
It's nothing. I'm just looking at you.
My dear Margaret.
Who are those people?
Must be callers. It's too late for callers.
Perhaps they're town people who want to hear the band.
I'm not at home to townies.
Well, hide among the ruins. If I can stop them, I will. Hello? Can I? Helen?
They're starving. I found them starving.
Who? Why have you come?
The bats.
Oh, Helen, whatever have you done now?
He's lost his place. Been turned out of the bank. Yes, he's done for.
Helen.
We've ruined him. Starving. His wife is ill. Fainted in the train.
Mad?
Oh, perhaps. Yes. If you like, I'm mad, but I brought them. I'll stand in justice no longer.
Have you actually brought 2 starving people from London to Shropshire, Helen?
There was a restaurant car on the train.
Don't be absurd. I won't have such theatrical nonsense. How dare you?
Oh,
yes, how dare you? Bursting in here in this way, my goodness. You've a perverted notion of philanthropy. People will think it's some vulgar scandal, and I must explain. Oh, no, it's only my sister screaming and 2 hangers-on of ours whom she's brought here for no conceivable reason.
Kindly, take back that word, hangers-on.
Oh, very well, but it beats me why you've brought them here. How do you do, Mr. Bast? Oh. This is an odd business, isn't it?
There's Mrs. Bast, too.
Mrs. Bast.
How do you do?
I'm sure I don't want... Mrs. Bast and I, we don't want to intrude, but you've been so kind to us in the past. We just wondered that...
Whether we could get him back into the Porphyrion again. Meg, this has been a dreadful business.
I don't understand.
The bank he moved to reduced their staff after he'd been there a month. Now he's penniless, and I consider that we and our informant are directly to blame.
Oh, I hate all this.
I'm sure you do, Mr. Bast, but it's no good mincing matters. You've done yourself no good by coming here. If you intend to confront Mr. Wilcox and call him to account for a chance remark, you have made a very big mistake.
I brought them.
My sister has put you in a false position, and it's kindest to tell you so. It's too late to get back to London, but you'll find a comfortable hotel in Honiton where Mrs. Bast can rest, and I hope you'll be my guests there.
That isn't what I want, Miss Schlegel. You're very kind,
but... It's work he wants, can't you see?
Jackie, let's go. We're more bothered than we're worth.
You're only down on your luck. Go to the hotel, have a good night's rest, and someday you shall pay me back the bill if you prefer it.
You don't know what you're talking about. I shall never get work now. If rich people fail at one profession, they can try another. Not I. I had my groove and I got out of it. Poetry's nothing, Miss Schlegel. One's thoughts about this and that are nothing. If a man over 20 loses his job, it's all over for him. In the end, he'll fall over the edge. It's no good. It's the whole world pulling.
See what we've done. We've spoiled it. We've spoiled everything.
I don't know what to do. It isn't my house. Won't you have something to eat, Mrs. Bast?
Go on, Jackie.
I might manage a morsel.
Go and try. I'll come. It's all right.
I like Mr. Bast. I agree he's worth helping. I agree we're responsible.
Indirectly, via Mr. Wilcox.
Let me tell you once and for all that if you take up that attitude, I'll do nothing. Oh. If you promise to take them quietly to the George, I'll speak to Henry about them in my own way, mind.
It's his duty.
I'm not concerned with duty. I'm concerned with the characters of various people we know and how, the situation being what it is, things may be made a little better.
All right.
I haven't nearly done with you, though, Helen. You've been incredibly self-indulgent. You've less restraint as you grow older. Think it over and alter yourself, or we shan't have happy lives.
I'll do what I can. But, Margaret, this mustn't be taken as a precedent. I can't fit in your protégés every day.
No, of course not. Of course. I promise, darling, he's the last. He's rather a special case.
Protégés always are. You're so full of kindness. Who is that woman eating cake?
Oh, dear. It's her. I thought they'd left. She's overtired.
She's drunk. We can't have her here in that state.
Was she? Her husband was with her.
Madam, you will be more comfortable at the hotel.
I'm sorry, Henry. Her husband was with her. I didn't know where
I can't congratulate you on your protégés.
Now, run away. Remember me, don't you? Out in Cyprus, your little Jackie.
Does she know you?
Know him? Do I know him? He's serving you like me, my dear. These boys, still we love him. Henry?
Allow me to congratulate you on the success of your plan.
This is Helen's plan, not mine.
I now understand your interest in the Basts. Very well thought out, Margaret.
Henry.
Yes, I'm a man and have lived a man's past.
So that woman has been your mistress?
You put it with your usual delicacy.
When, please?
Why?
When, please?
10 years ago. Naturally, I release you from our engagement.
Is she sleeping?
Like a newborn babe. I could never thank you enough.
I just believe in personal responsibility. Don't you? In personal everything. And what's wrong?
Nothing. I thought I heard Jackie on the stairs.
Oh, she was tired out. I'm sure she's sleeping.
Best she stops up there anyway.
What kind of woman is she? Does that question offend you?
No, well, no, no.
You ought to know my ways by now. Please, don't pretend your marriage has been a happy one. You and she can have nothing in common.
Jackie never meant to do anybody any harm. Her mother died when she was small. Her father took her to Cyprus and he died. She was left on her own.
How long have you been married?
Nearly 3 years.
What did your people say?
Don't have anything to do with us.
Oh.
They had a sort of family council when they heard we were married cut us off.
Oh, my good boy. What a mess. Who are your family?
My parents were in trade. They both passed away. My brother's a lay reader. My sisters are both married to commercial travellers.
And your grandparents?
They were just nothing at all. Agricultural labourers and the sort.
Of course. Back to the earth.
I don't follow.
It's in your blood. No wonder you understand the beauty of walking at night.
Well, walking's well enough when you're in work, but there's nothing like a bailiff in the house to make you see life straight. My books are back again, thanks to you. But they'll never be the same to me, and I shan't ever again think a night in the woods was so wonderful.
Oh, why not?
Because now I see that the real thing's money. All the rest's a dream.
No, no, you're wrong. Oh, my poor dear Leonard.
Henry, look at me. Give me the newspaper.
There's nothing to be said. I've released you from our engagement. I'm a bad lot and must be left at that.
But leave it where you will. I've decided, Henry. I shall be your wife. This matter will make no difference.
No difference? When you find I'm not the fellow you thought. I'm unworthy of you. I can't bear to talk of it.
My dear...
No, please don't touch me, Margaret. You with your sheltered life and refined pursuits and friends and books. You and your sister and women like you, what do you know of the world? How can you guess the grubby temptations that lie round a man?
It is difficult for us, but we do guess.
What do you suppose happens to thousands of young fellows overseas? Cut off from decent society and family? I know from bitter experience. Yet you say it makes no difference.
Helen didn't come.
No.
And she and the Basts have left the George. Separately.
How do you know?
I went there first thing.
Before breakfast?
I'm afraid there will have been some kind of gossiping at the George.
Let them talk.
Helen didn't leave me a message.
You can't stop a story once it's started. I've known cases of other men. I despised them once. I thought, I'm different. I shall never be tempted. Oh, Margaret.
That's enough.
Could you possibly forgive me?
I expect I already have.
Oh, Tibbikins.
Cigarette?
He's ruined two people's lives and goes about saying that personal actions count for nothing. He met her when he was trying to get rich out in Cyprus. I don't wish to make him worse than he is, and no doubt she was ready enough to meet him, but there it is.
It's a bad business. I don't see what I'm to do.
Oh, then there's nothing to be done. I dare say you're right. Let Margaret marry him. There remains the question of compensation.
Do you want me to adjudicate that, too?
I don't see who's to pay it if I don't. And I've already decided on the minimum sum. Here, take this cheque. Place it in your account, and when I'm in Germany, pay it over for me. I shall never forget your kindness, Tibbikins, if you do this.
5,000? Good God alive!
Well, what's the good of driblets? To have gone through life having done one thing, to have raised one person from the abyss. Not these puny gifts of shillings and blankets, making the grey more grey.
But it's half what you have.
I have far too much.
Helen!
I didn't expect you to understand me.
I understand nobody.
But you'll do it.
Apparently.
In the week that followed, our hero and heroine were married, and so it seemed that Margaret had indeed forgiven Henry. Helen remained in Germany. Tibby gave his sister away. He returned to Oxford to find a letter from Leonard Bast. The cheque was enclosed, the legacy refused, the writer being in no need of money. Tibby forwarded this to Helen. Her reply was frantic. He was to go down to their lodgings at once. A scurf of books and ornaments awaited him. The Basts had been evicted for not paying their rent and had wandered no one knew whither.
This is news. I never heard until this minute that Honiton was damned.
My dear girl, have you eyes? Have you skin? It's almost as wet as this river.
Why did you go there, then?
The truth is, I took it on account of Charles and Dolly. Don't let this go any further. I shouldn't like him to know that he nearly let me in for a bad bargain. No sooner had I signed the agreement than they settled to live down at Hilton.
But where shall we live then, Henry? Oh, look at that duck diving.
Cheeky little fellows. It's now, what, nearly October. Let's camp for the winter in Ducie Street and look out for something in the spring.
If possible, something permanent. These endless moves must be bad for the furniture, and they're expensive.
Howards End won't cost a penny.
Henry, it's very generous of you to allow us to use Howards End as a warehouse, but the removals are not cheap. And I don't like to think of Miss Avery being expected to act as a guard dog for the contents of Wickham Place.
Nonsense. She'll be in her element.
I'm quite done up, my dears. But the nurse is here. You should get into the fresh air. Not you, Tibby. You must do your Chinese.
Aunt Julie, you must rest. Please don't worry about us. We can amuse ourselves.
It's a beautiful day, Meg. I may take a stroll.
Take a steamer expedition when Helen comes.
Helen won't be able to stop. She's telegraphed that she can only get away just to see you. She must go back to Germany as soon as you're well.
How very odd of Helen. And Mr. Wilcox, Can he spare you?
He wished me to come, of course. Henry's a kind man, Aunt Julie.
She's been gone 8 months.
Yes.
But why? Why so long?
She said she wanted to travel for a while. We've had postcards from all over the continent.
Oh, Helen is odd.
Quite true.
Mrs. Munt was suffering from acute pneumonia. She may well have passed away, but quite outside her will, a more dignified power took hold and checked her on the downward slope. By the fourth day, she was out of danger. Then Helen's letter arrived.
Dearest Meg, tell Aunt Julie that I love and have loved her ever since I can remember. I shall be in London Thursday. My address will be care of the bankers. Write or wire me there and give me detailed news. If Aunt Julie is much better, or if, for a terrible reason, it would be no good my coming down to Swanage, you must not think it odd if I do not come. I'm living abroad at present and want to get back as quickly as possible. Will you please tell me where our furniture is? I should like to take out one or two books. The rest are for you. Forgive me, dearest Meg. This must read like a rather tiresome letter, but all letters are from your loving Helen.
But it does tempt me to tell a lie. If I write that Aunt Julie is still in danger, Helen will come. Oh, Tibby, I so long to see her.
I think you're right to tell the truth, Meg.
Yes, I must.
Why don't you tell Mr. Wilcox?
About Helen?
Well, perhaps he's come across that sort of thing.
Tibby, love, have you any idea what's at the back of this?
None, unless it's something mental.
Oh, well, that's impossible.
Margaret, you've got black marks under your eyes again. You know that's strictly forbidden. First your aunt, then your sister. No, we aren't going to have it, are we, Theobald? My secretary will get you some tea, and then you're going straight to Ducie Street. I can't have my girl looking as old as her husband.
All the same, you haven't quite seen our point.
I don't suppose I ever shall.
Margaret's point is this. Our sister may be mad.
She's never just taken herself off like this before, then.
Of course not.
Well, my dear, how am I to know? Come in, Charles. Can you help us at all, I wonder?
I don't know about that, sir. I just needed to inquire. Did you leave instructions regarding the Chambers settlement?
Yes, in a minute. We're worried about Helen, Charles.
She's not well, Henry. I shouldn't discuss my sister with you if I thought she was well. It shouldn't trouble you, I mean.
You want to get hold of her. That's the problem, isn't it? You need to see her face to face, and she needs a doctor.
Well, for all I know, she's...
I've got it. It's perfectly easy. We'll send her down to Howards End.
Is that wise?
How will you do that?
After her books. Margaret, you'll tell her that she must unpack them herself. Then you can meet her there.
But, Henry, that's just what she won't let me do. It's part of her, whatever it is, never to see me.
Of course you won't tell her you're going. When she's there, looking at the cases, you'll just stroll in. If nothing's wrong with her, so much the better. But there'll be the moat around the corner, and we can run her up to a specialist in no time.
It's quite impossible.
Why?
It doesn't seem impossible to me.
It's not the kind of language Helen and I talk, if you see my meaning. It would do splendidly for other
people. But Helen doesn't talk. That's our whole difficulty. She won't talk your particular language, and on that account, you think she's ill.
No, Henry, it's sweet of you, but I couldn't.
I see. You have scruples.
I suppose so.
And I am as scrupulous as any man alive, I hope. But when it's a case like this... When there is a question of madness...
I deny it's madness.
You said just now.
It's madness when I say it, but not when you say it.
Margaret. No education can teach a woman logic. Now, my dear, I have work to get on with, or I shall be here all night. Do you want me to help you or not?
Not in that way.
Father, we may as well keep Howards End out of it.
Why, Charles?
The whole house is at sixes and sevens. We don't want any more mess.
Who's we? My boy, pray, who's we?
All right. Tibby and I will go to Ducie Street, and perhaps I'll write to Helen as you suggest, Henry.
It's a good plan, Meg.
That's my girl.
Helen was sitting in the porch with her back to the road. Only her head and shoulders were visible. She was framed by the vine, one of her hands playing with the buds. The wind ruffled her hair, the sun glorified it. She was as she had always been. Margaret was seated in the car, but before her husband could prevent her, she slipped out and ran through the garden gate, deliberately pushing it shut before him. The noise alarmed Helen. Margaret saw her rise with an unfamiliar movement. and rushing to the porch, learnt the simple explanation of their fears. Her sister was with child.
Oh, my darling Helen.
Is the truant all right?
Quickly, go in.
Margaret, what are you doing?
Go away!
Give me the keys, my dear. What are you doing with Helen?
Oh, dearest, do go away. Please let me manage this and send the doctor away.
But, Margaret, if Helen is unwell...
She's not unwell. She doesn't need the doctor. Not yet. She's still many weeks from her confinement.
Good heavens.
Now, Henry, I shall want your advice later, no doubt. Forgive me if I've been stubborn, but please, you must go. I'll soon find you down at Dolly's.
Very well.
Oh, my darling. My darling, forgive me.
Convenient. You didn't tell me that the books were unpacked.
Oh, I had no idea. Miss Avery must have done it. This wasn't meant to happen. She's even laid the runner. Forgive me.
Has Aunt Julie been ill?
You wouldn't think I'd invent that.
I suppose not.
We thought you were unwell, but even then, I haven't behaved worthily. I ought not to have consulted anyone. What would our father have thought of me?
Planning my life as I now have to...
Come away from the books, Helen. Do look at me. Talk to me.
I'm just saying that I've stopped living haphazardly. I'm going to have a child in June, and in the first place, discussions and excitement are not good for me. In the second place, I've no right to trouble people. I can't fit in with England as I know it. I've done something that the English never pardon. It wouldn't be right for them to pardon it, so I must live where I'm not known.
You wouldn't have told me, would you? You'd never have told me.
Oh, yes, I should. I've taken a flat in Munich. Who lives here, then?
No one.
The house was empty long enough.
Oh, Miss Avery, I didn't hear you come in. My sister and I, we were just saying there's been a mistake. When you kindly undertook to look after our things, we didn't intend you...
The farm lads carried your big wardrobe upstairs. It looks well in the first bedroom.
There aren't no plans to live here.
You're letting it, I suppose.
It was let, but the tenants left. It isn't mine to decide.
Last time I saw this hall, it was full of Wilcox things. Ours look better.
Have you ordered in coals?
Miss Avery, it's all been a mistake.
Very well. I'll be down at the farm if you require anything. Good day.
She's unpacked everything.
Tell me about yourself.
There's nothing to tell.
But your marriage is happy?
Yes. But I don't want to talk about it.
Look here, Meg, is the coast clear?
Why? You mean you're leaving already?
Darling, it isn't any use. Give my love to Aunt Julie and Tibby, and take more yourself than I can say. Promise to come and see me in Munich later.
My dearest girl.
I'm glad to have seen you and the things. They fit the house. Mother's chiffonier looks well there.
Miss Avery is extraordinary. She loved Mrs. Wilcox. I think she'd rather furnish her house with our things than see it empty.
We'd never have displayed Father's sword like that.
It looks well, though.
Magnificent.
Look at the chairs.
Oh, look at them. Wickham Place faced north, didn't it?
Northwest.
It's 30 years since those chairs have felt the sun. Oh, feel, Meg. Dear little backs are quite warm. Move that chair so anyone sitting there can see the lawn.
The window's too high. But try a drawing room chair.
I don't like the drawing room so much. The beam's been matchboarded. It would have been beautiful otherwise.
What a memory you have. You're perfectly right. It's a room that men have spoiled through trying to make it nice for women. Men don't know what we want.
And never will.
Perhaps in 2,000 years.
I doubt it. Oh, look, where Tibby spilt the soup.
Oh. What's that?
Perhaps the Wilcoxes are beginning the siege.
Not a siege, but possibly an attempt to provision us against one. It's milk from Tom, the farm boy. Miss Avery sent him, no doubt.
Good.
This place has wonderful powers.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
Because I probably agree with you. I drink some. It's delicious.
Delicious.
Oh, now you've a white moustache.
No.
Let me... Oh, there. I have a startling idea.
What is it?
Couldn't you and I camp here for the night?
I don't think...
Oh, it would give me so much pleasure to have one night here with you.
Oh, Meg, lovey, do let's.
Darling, we can't without getting Henry's leave. Charles wouldn't like it. Even our furniture and packing cases annoyed him. He feels it's his mother's house.
But I'm going to pass out of their lives. What difference will it make in the long run?
How do you know you'll pass out of their lives? We've thought that twice before.
Because my plans...
Which you change in a moment.
Then because my life is great and theirs a little. I know things they can't know, and so do you. We know there's poetry. We know this house is ours because it feels ours. Oh, they may have the title deeds and the front door key, but for this one night, we're home.
It would be lovely to have you alone.
And we could talk. Can't I have this one night with you?
I needn't say how much it would mean to me.
Well, then let's.
Your carriage! I could take it to Hilton now and get leave.
Oh, we don't want leave. Charles may say no.
We shan't consult him. Oh. Expect me back before dark. It's so like you to have thought of such a beautiful thing.
Not a thing. Only an ending.
Brute. You brute. I couldn't have...
Then... Oh, what's the matter?
Oh, it's... Nothing. I'm just... Just go back to sleep. Oh... Dear God, whatever shall I do?
The expedition to Shropshire had permanently crippled the Basts. Helen, in her flight, had left a note for Leonard, tender and hysterical in tone, but forgot to settle the hotel bill and took their return tickets away with her. They had to pawn Jackie's bangles to get home, and a few days later the smash came. He turned to his family and degraded himself as a beggar. There was nothing else for him to do.
A postal order from my brother.
Thank heaven.
It never occurred to him that Helen was in any way to blame. He forgot the intensity of their talk and the magic of Oniton under darkness. One day he caught sight of Margaret and her brother in St. Paul's. Their faces were extremely grave, and he was certain they were in trouble about their sister. He fled immediately, but once outside, wished he had spoken to them. What was his life? What were a few angry words or even imprisonment? He had done wrong. That was true terror. Whatever they might know, he would tell them everything he knew. He re-entered St. Paul's, but they had gone.
Excuse me, sir, but I wonder if... Are you employed by Mr. Wilcox?
What's that to you?
I need to speak to his wife on urgent business.
They've taken the car to Howard's End.
Whereabouts is that?
Want to know a great deal, don't you?
My dear, there is a troublesome business ahead of us, and nothing but the most absolute honesty and plain speech will see us through. Was your sister wearing a wedding ring?
No. Henry, I really came to ask a favour about Howard's End.
One point at a time. I'm obliged to ask for the name of her seducer.
Seducer? No, I don't know her seducer's name.
Would she not tell you?
I didn't even ask who seduced her.
Natural, perhaps, that you shouldn't ask. But until his name is known, nothing can be done. Sit down, why don't you?
I'd like to stand, if you don't mind. It gives me a pleasant view of the Six Hills.
As you like.
Have you anything else to ask me?
Only whether you have gathered anything. I've often noticed your insight, Margaret. The slightest hint would help us.
Us?
I thought it best to speak to Charles.
Well, that was unnecessary.
He's gone to call on your brother.
That too was unnecessary.
But, my dearest, it's in Helen's interest that we're acting. It's still not too late to save her name.
Are we to make her seducer marry her?
If possible, yes.
But suppose he turns out to be married already? One has heard of such things.
In that case, he must be made to pay heavily for his misconduct.
May I ask you my question now?
I suppose you realise that you are your sister's protector?
In what sense?
If a man played about with any sister of mine, I'd send a bullet through him. But perhaps... You don't mind.
I mind very much.
Well, who'd you suspect, then? Speak out, man. One always suspects someone.
No one. I don't think so.
You're hiding something. When you last saw her, did she mention anyone's name? Yes or no?
In my room, she mentioned some friends.
Friends? Who? Tell me.
The Basts, but...
Who are the Basts?
People. Friends of hers. At the garden party?
I don't remember. Oh, by great Scott, I do. My aunt told me about some tag rag. Was she full of them when you saw her? Oh, I see. You're in his confidence. They met at your rooms, no doubt. Oh, what a family. What a family. God help my poor father.
If she wants to sleep one night, she may want to sleep two. We shall never get her out of the house.
Well, and suppose we don't? Would it matter? No, I didn't mean that. We will only trouble Howards End for this one night. I take her to London tomorrow.
Do you intend to sleep in a damp house, too?
She cannot be left alone.
That's quite impossible. Madness. You must be here to meet Charles.
What has this to do with Charles?
As the future owner of Howards End, I should say that
Will Helen's condition depreciate the property?
My dear, you're forgetting yourself.
I think you yourself recommended plain speaking.
Helen commands my sympathy. As your husband, I shall do all for her that I can, and I have no doubt that she will prove more sinned against than sinning. But I can't treat her as if nothing has happened.
Let's go back to Helen's request. Tonight, and only for tonight, she asks to sleep in your empty house, a house which you do not care about and which you have not occupied for over a year. May she? Will you give my sister leave? Will you forgive her? As you hope to be forgiven, and as you have actually been forgiven, forgive her for just one night.
As I have actually been forgiven?
Just answer the question.
I have my children and the memory of my dear wife to consider. I'm sorry, but please see that your sister leaves my house at once.
You've mentioned Mrs. Wilcox.
I beg your pardon.
In reply... May I mention Mrs. Bast?
You've not been yourself all day.
Not any more of this. You shall see the connection if it kills you. You have had a mistress. I forgave you. My sister has a lover. You drive her from the house. Do you see the connection? Stupid, hypocritical, cruel, oh, contemptible. A man who insults his wife when she's alive and cants with her memory when she's dead. A man who ruins a woman for his pleasure and casts her off to ruin other men and gives bad financial advice and then says he's not responsible. These men are you. You can't recognize them because you cannot connect. I've spoilt you long enough. All your life you've been spoiled. Mrs. Wilcox spoiled you. No one has ever told you what you are. Muddled, criminally muddled. Men like you use repentance as a blind, so don't repent. Only say to yourself, what Helen has done, I've done.
The two cases are different.
In what way different? You have betrayed Mrs. Wilcox, Helen only herself. You remain in society, Helen can't. You have had only pleasure, she may die. You have the insolence to talk to me of differences.
Oh, the uselessness of it. You're attempting blackmail. Scarcely a pretty weapon for a wife to use against her husband. My rule through life has been to never pay the least attention to threats, and I can only repeat, I do not give you and your sister leave to sleep at Howards End.
He would have gone on worshipping me, but though it sounds appalling, I want never to see him again. I wanted to give him money and feel finished. Oh, Meg, whoever can understand these things?
I think Ruth Wilcox would have done. I believe she had an instinctive kind of wisdom. She knew when people were in love, though she wasn't in the room. I don't doubt she knew when Henry deceived her.
Are you all right?
Yes.
What did Henry say about us staying the night?
It doesn't matter. It's all right. I'm here. And sitting under this tree, one forgets every difficulty.
But I still know that tomorrow I'll see the moon rise out of Germany. The whole forest of your magic trees can't alter that. Unless you'll come with me.
No more plans for now. Look, the pig's teeth are gleaming in the moonlight. What are you doing?
I'm counting them.
When Leonard stepped out of the village and into the country, he noticed the contrast. Hilton was asleep, but out here men had been up since dawn, their hours ruled by crops and the sun. At the chalk pit, a motor car hurtled by, startling him, so he found himself flinching on the grass verge as it passed. As he approached Howard's End, all thought stopped. Contradictory notions stood side by side in his mind. He was terrified, ashamed, but happy. He had known his confession. Mrs. Wilcox, I have done wrong. But sunrise robbed its meaning, and he felt now rather on a supreme adventure. He entered the garden, steadied himself against the gate, saw a door open, and went into the house.
I am acting as my father's representative. This is his house, and it will be mine, and to his mind and mine, this is a matter concerning the rights of property itself. And what's more, my father expressly forbade you.
There is no need to take that.
I'm going away.
Your sister is out of wedlock. She is.
That's correct, Mr. Wilcox. Out of wedlock, I am going to have a child.
Wait, Helen, I'm coming with you.
Leonard.
I thought I heard voices.
Mr. Burst.
Mrs. Wilcox, I've done wrong.
Oh, he's here, is he? I'm not surprised. I shall thrash him within an inch of his life.
Leonard, you must.
You rogue! Bring me a stick!
No!
I am Miss Daigle.
Charles!
Take that!
They were both there, as you thought. And they had that man with them.
What?
The man we discussed last night, Bast.
My God. Is it possible? In your mother's house?
I know, Father. That's what I felt. As a matter of fact, there's no need to trouble about him. He was in the last stages of heart disease. The police are seeing about it at the moment.
You?
I got up there. Oh, it couldn't have been more than 7:30. I gave them your message, and Mrs. Wilcox said, "Oh, yes, I see, yes," in that way of hers.
Nothing else?
I was just speaking of Howard's End when, I suppose, this man got tired of hiding. Suddenly, Miss Schlegel called out his name. I recognized it and went for him. Was I right? I felt things were going a little too far.
Then, did he just crumple?
He caught hold of the bookcase, which fell on top of him, so I merely put the sword down and carried him into the garden.
Sword?
Awful business.
What sword?
A sword of theirs. Old German, hanging above the fire.
What were you doing with
it?
Well,
don't you see? I had to snatch up the first thing handy. I caught him once, just with the flat of it, over the shoulders.
Then what?
He pulled the bookcase over, as I said, and fell.
But the real cause was heart failure. You're sure?
That or some kind of fit. We'll hear the unsavoury details at the inquest.
I think I'll go to the police station.
Very well. Shall I drive you?
No.
Well, which motor will you take?
Neither. I'll walk. I prefer to discuss things with you inside.
It's more appropriate in the road, I'm afraid. Did you get my message?
What about?
I'm going to Germany with my sister. I must tell you now, I shall make it my permanent home. Our talk last night was more important than you realized. I'm unable to forgive you, and I'm leaving you.
I'm extremely tired. I've been walking about all morning and need to sit down.
All right, if you'll consent to sit on the grass. Here are your keys.
I've something to tell you.
I don't want to hear it. Please take the keys. My life is going to be with my sister now. We must manage to build something, she and I and her child.
Where are you going?
Munich. We start after the inquest, if she's not too ill.
After the inquest?
Yes.
Have you realized what the verdict will be?
Yes. Heart disease.
No, Margaret. Manslaughter. Manslaughter. Charles may well go to prison. I don't tell him. I don't know what to do. I'm broken. I'm ended.
No sudden warmth arose in Margaret. She didn't enfold the sufferer in her arms. But all through that day and the next, a new life began to move. The verdict was brought in. Charles was committed for trial. It was against all reason that he should be punished, but the law, being made in his image, sentenced him to 3 years' imprisonment. Then Henry's fortress gave way. He could bear no one but his wife. He shambled up to Margaret afterwards and asked her to do what she could with him. She did what seems easiest. She took him to Howards End.
Now, Tom, baby is not to stand. He's not to be teased or tickled. And he's not to be cut into two or more pieces by the cutter. Take him.
That child is a wonderful nursemaid.
Oh, they're going to be lifelong friends.
Starting at the ages of 6 and 1.
Of course.
14 months had passed, and Margaret was still at Howards End. The great red poppies were reopening in the garden. July would follow with small red poppies among the wheat. These little events would become part of her year after year. Every summer she would fear lest the well should give out, every winter lest the pipe should freeze, every westerly gale might bring the witch elm down and bring the end of all things. And so she could not read or talk during a westerly gale. For now, the air was tranquil.
What a time they all are in there. What can they be doing?
There are moments when I think Howards End... peculiarly our own.
Still, London's creeping. It's like a red rust on the horizon. I wish Henry was out here to enjoy this lovely weather.
His hay fever's his chief objection to living here, but he thinks it worthwhile.
Is or isn't he ill? I can't make it out.
Not ill. Eternally tired. He's worked too hard all his life and noticed nothing. Those are the people who, when they do take notice, just collapse.
I suppose he still worries about his part in the tangle.
Dreadfully. That's why I wish Dolly hadn't come today. Mm. Still, he wanted them all here. It has to be.
Meg, may I tell you something? I like Henry.
You'd be odd if you didn't.
Well, I certainly usedn't to.
Usedn't?
That's a word. I've come to like him because he worries.
And he likes you because you don't.
I ought to remember Leonard as my lover. I tempted him and ruined him, and it's surely the least I can do, but it's no good pretending. I'm forgetting him.
Tom! Baby's not to try and stand.
Oh. I see you loving Henry and understanding him better every day, but I... Is it some awful criminal defect in me?
No! People are far more different than we pretend. Don't fret yourself. Love your child. I don't love children. I'm thankful to have none. I can play with their beauty and charm, but that's all. Not one scrap of what they ought to be.
Oh, Meg, you are a person.
No objections? Then I leave Howards End to my wife absolutely. And let everyone understand that, and after I'm dead, let there be no jealousy and no surprise. Mm. In consequence, I leave my wife no money. That's her own wish. All that she would have had will be divided among you. I'm also giving you a great deal in my lifetime so that you may be independent of me. She intends, when she dies, to leave the house to her... to her nephew. I trust all that is clear.
It does seem curious that Mrs. Wilcox should have left Margaret Howards End, and yet she gets it after all.
Forget them.
They've almost finished cutting the hay.
I'm all right.
Could you tell me, Henry, what did I overhear Dolly say about Mrs. Wilcox having left me Howard's End?
Yes, she did. That's a very old story. When she was ill and you were so kind to her, she wanted to make you some return and, not being herself at the time, scribbled Howard's End on a piece of paper. I went into it thoroughly and, as it was clearly fanciful, I set it aside, little knowing what my Margaret would be to me in the future. I didn't do wrong, did I? Here they are at last. What have you rogues been up to?
The fields cut. The big meadow. We've been right to the very end. It'll be such a crop of hay.
In Howard's End, E.M. Forster was played by John Hurt, Margaret Schlegel by Lisa Dillon, Helen Schlegel by Jill Cardo, Tibby Schlegel by Tom Ferguson, and Aunt Julie was played by Alexandra Matthey. Henry Wilcox was played by Malcolm Raban, Charles Wilcox by Joseph Klosker, Dolly Wilcox and Jackie Bast by Christine Marshall, and Leonard Bast was played by Joseph Prospero. Howard's End was written by E.M. Forster, adapted for radio by Amanda Dalton,